On this episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, it's the episode before the Northwestern game. Fat Tits Gerald, the Kitty Cats. There's not a lot to say about them, or the Hawks right now. So we get into some funny stuff. Current events, CFP rankings, some other things. It's a good episode. We're glad you're here. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back. I don't know what that was. Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, whatever, however many of you are left. I can't even talk right now. It's episode 264 of the podcast. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what we're going to talk about because there's nothing to be happy about on this podcast right now. So, Kluber, how about it?
Aw, come on.
Drake's sad.
I don't think Drake, I don't know if Drake gets sad, though. I think Drake skips sad and goes straight to an anger emotion.
Listen, dude, we've got guys that are more worried about selling their merch than they are blocking anybody. So that's where the team's at. What else you want me to talk about?
Okay. Oh, there it is. Let's talk about that. How has NIL affected the NCAA? It's college football.
I don't know, but I think it should be a rule, like a team-made rule, like you have to face your locker room type rule, that if you're not performing on the field and you're trying to sell your brand, you probably shouldn't do that.
It is interesting. Imagine shout out to the Patreon Walk-On Army Fantasy Football League, by the way, which I'm just horrible in. Imagine
your boy is the leading scorer in that league, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say was imagine that Kevin, who is the Savage Back special team captain, starts playing like dog shit, and then the next week he comes in, he's trying to sell K-Dub's Creamers merch, you know? he's trying to sell Captain Cream merch, and everyone's just like, hey, guy, you know, you should probably figure out how to tackle some people before you start pimping your merch out.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. No, it's not a great look. Does it directly affect your performance on the field? Probably not.
No.
But, you know, if you want to find a way to, like,
it's more of an
off your teammates, like, what, dude, like,
it's an optics thing.
Yeah, it's totally an optics thing. And optics matter.
Optics do matter.
Especially, young guys in the program who are looking up to the starters, looking up to the older guys. It's like, they're going to follow what those guys do. And if that's what it seems like they're worried about, then that's kind of how the next generation, if you will set their priorities too. But yeah, I mean, I think there should be like a grading system, you know, so we all get grades after games. The coaches break down the position group, you know, you get a plus or a minus on this play, divide all your plays, you get a grade, just like math class in junior high.
Kevin, you're about to take the thought right out of my head.
I think there should be an eligible or ineligible line that we set. I don't know what that line should be set at.
There's a red line.
But if it's below that, you're not allowed to sell any merch.
Fuck, man. You took it right out of my head. I swear that from osmosis, man. We were thinking, no, just transferred.
There's like a lot. There's like on the message board, the little bulletin board down in the hallway. It's like, here's the merch line. Who's above the merch line this week?
Who's ineligible to sell merch?
Oh man, it's just right up there with the Hawkeye challenge points. My goodness. Kevin Ward.
I mean, in addition, who's going to want to buy your merch?
Well, that's the thing, is like, if you are a defensive lineman and you're getting road graded into the ground, just who, you know,
right.
who wants to,
right.
I don't know.
And then on the other hand, you got Tyre Linderbaum, the best center in the country, raised like 25 grand in a week.
And sent it all to the children's hospital.
Yeah, I mean, the dude outdid us by like tenfold
Well, he's the best center in the country. I mean, no one, there's more people who know, I mean,
This is the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, and he is the best center in the country in actual football.
Yeah, if he had a podcast, it would be called Best in the Country Podcast. I mean, we're on different levels here. Although I don't think he's much of a talker. He did say, there was a quote from media on Tuesday. Someone asked about, I don't know what the question was, but the quote was like, you know, sky is falling, all this stuff. And he goes, we're going to be all right. There's a lot more bad things happening in the world right now than Iowa football losing two games. And it came across a little bit incorrect to some people, that people on Twitter who love to just make shit out of nothing. But what he was really,
I wish this podcast would not reference Twitter anymore and Twitter would just die.
Yeah. Kevin only uses Twitter for sports memeing. Like when he said the Astros lose, everybody else wins.
Yeah. I mean, I think the entire country was cheering for the Braves on that one because
absolutely,
fuck the Astros.
There was a guy who laid down like a $3.8 million bet on the Astros at the beginning of the season, though.
Oh, it was Mattress Mac back at it?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I remember that dude.
And he like was selling. I mean, it was great marketing for his company, but you know.
Yeah, he's got. I forget the guy's deal. He's got like the largest mattress store in the country.
Or yes. He would have won like $38 million if this bet hit or something crazy like that. Speaking of Linderbaum, obviously, you know, by basically everyone and their mom, he is the number one rated center in the country. Funny enough, performance-wise, the Minnesota center is second on some of those, at least PFF, you know, put into that what you want.
So that means absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, Linderbaum is the top center on PFF. So
they just took the preseason number one. They haven't watched any Linderbaum film. Those guys just were like, oh, this guy's rated number one over the year. We're just going to keep him there. We'll start with number two.
You think they just give him a grade and say, fuck,
dude, he's those cunts are so lazy and worthless over there at PFF. Like the fact that their names get mentioned and they get any clout and recognition at all is pathetic. Like they know nothing. And they're a bunch of Cheeto fingers who got hired for some company that started to get popular on the internet.
Wow. Drake.
Question.
Yeah.
Mr. CEO, can we drop hard C's in this
cunts? I think you can say cunts. It's like bro over in Australia. I mean,
yeah, when we have the Europeans use it all the time.
When we have Tory Taylor on, he'll probably say it 3 or 4 times. So,
okay, I wasn't sure.
Is
that a $5 word too? Or
I mean, sure.
Oh, I'll give $10 for those C words right there. There's $30 to the children.
Which that fund is. That fund is growing.
No, I don't put a whole lot into the PFF grades either. But
no, and I don't either. They're a sports analytics brand, whatever you want to call them. They've done enough to grow their brand to where it gets a lot of clicks and people go to, like,
you know
people,
you know what I call them?
Yeah, we just heard it.
Second nickname. I got a second nickname for it.
What? Okay, well that one's all right. That one's getting taken out probably. So
yeah, probably.
Let's time mark that. Jesus, God damn it! I hate you so much.
We have fun on this podcast, man. When the Hawks are playing like doo doo caca, what else am I supposed to talk about? I'm here to make jokes.
Well, on Dickhead Tuesday yesterday, you had a quote that said, I've got a shovel and time. And I don't even remember what that was referencing. But evidently,
what the hell happens on this podcast when I'm not here?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I incriminated myself in any way by saying I have a shovel and time. I could be talking about planting somebody a new garden. Sustainable farming and sustainable lifestyle is kind of becoming popular these days.
Yeah, you're right. Stay green. Yeah,
that's what everyone assumes when they take one look at your facial hair and your mullet. It's like, this guy just loves gardening.
This guy wants to plant some goddamn tomatoes right now.
dig them holes.
You're calling zero. Stanley Yelnats in this bitch. My mom texted me and goes, Jesus, I saw the retweet of that person who quoted Drake. Who's he talking about murdering? Who's he gonna bury? I'm like, I don't know, mom. I already forgot. It, that's so common, I don't even remember it. This podcast is so stupid, dude. People at home are just like, they haven't said anything about football yet. Back to the Wisconsin game quick. We glossed over this because of the shit show that the actual team put on the field. But the toolbox is retained, by the way. The managers...
Shout out to the managers for showing up.
Secure the toolbox for 2 years in a row. While we were there, they never won it.
That thing was more elusive than the actual bowl. Heartland showing for you when we were there.
Yeah, Wisconsin was... In our 5 years in the program, between the bowl and the toolbox, they were 9 out of 10. That's embarrassing. We've flipped that a little bit in the last few years. Managers did their job this year. One of them reached out to me. Shout out Jake Manning. I think he listens to the podcast. It might even be the one, Jake. I might have even met you at the Legacy event this summer. And he said, if you guys want to come commentate the toolbox game next year, that would be fantastic.
Oh, lock it in. It's a given.
Walk-ons on a hot mic.
In Iowa City?
Yeah. Can we live stream it too?
Because it's in Iowa City next year.
Yeah.
So the washed up walk-ons commentate the Rusty Toolbox game from inside the Hanson Performance Center.
I want it live streamed. Oh my God. That'd be awesome. Let's do it.
I think we have
to sell it on Patreon. We selling this on Patreon, the live stream, like YMH Studios.
We could live stream it to Patreon. Ooh, like that shit. That would actually, you imagine how many Patreon members we'd have sign up? So that's good marketing. Fuck the walk-ons. All they do is try and sell their shit. Those guys suck. Anyway, so shout out Jake and the rest of the guys for taking home the toolbox. At least we got 1 out of 2 trophies. Another thing that happened like 2 weeks ago now that I wanted to make sure was mentioned was Caitlin Clark's deal with Hy-Vee making big money. That's got to be a six-figure deal.
What were the – I mean, I doubt they published the details behind it, but
– I don't believe they did. All I know is that she literally is the third sponsored athlete behind I want to say it's Mahomes and Kelsey and her. Like, she's their third sponsored athlete, and the other two are Mahomes and Travis Kelsey. So
decent company.
Bro, and that is so huge because most WNBA players don't make that kind of money.
Right.
So she's making in college what more than what most WNBA athletes make.
Well, and that's the thing, is like for those women, I don't know about more. I'm not sure what the average salary is, but what the average salary is for it's not a lot. It's definitely not a lot. So if the best players can start inking deals like that, and it's from like, right. So it's a Midwest. Is it an Iowa company or is it like, I always forget. Cause the guy that always came,
I think it's an Iowa company because they started the game between Iowa and Nebraska.
Right. And that's the only thing that's hanging me up is that guy was always he lived in Nebraska who always came for the Hy-Vee meal. Either way, that's probably 100 G's plus for Caitlin Clark. Not only that, all the shit that they're going to do promo wise, like the way that that's going to grow her personal brand, just as who she is probably more value than 100 G's post college of just like, hey, I'm Caitlin Clark. Everybody knows me because I was really good at Iowa and I was the poster child for Hy-Vee sponsorship the last 3 years. Like that's super elite. So,
she's not going to struggle to get a job, pal. If that's what you're trying to reference.
You really think that's a 100K deal? I don't.
Oh, see for it. Sure.
Yeah,
over on the Twitter, people, of her whole scholarship. I'll bet it is.
On Twitter, people were like, they would be, the consensus was that it would be very surprising if it was less than 100K.
Wow. To answer your question, Drake, the average salary in the WNBA is 120 grand. Player minimum for the first 2 year players is like 60 grand. 3 years plus is 70 grand.
That's actually not as bad as it used to be. At least they can, you know, eat. Like, I know in some of those.
I mean, you don't need a second job at that, but
in some of those cities, the cost of living is a little higher than, you know, Des Moines. Yeah, you
compare it to the NBA, and that's like,
oh,
one game check for them.
It's like a quarter. The NBA makes stupid money. So I wanted to mention that. Back around to Lindy, Mel Kiper, who you might call him a Cheeto finger too. Honestly, I don't know what you think about him.
But Mel Kiper
has one job, and it's to analyze the draft.
Right.
He works 365 days a year for 3 days a year.
Great.
And he's been given a lot of credibility by a lot of people for a long period of time. So I'll give Mel Kiper his due respect.
Okay.
But Mel Kiper and PFF are significantly different, in my opinion.
Okay. Last week, he came out with his updated draft rankings through whatever last week. Lindy was number one for centers. Pot was number eight for fullbacks, which may
How many fullbacks a year get drafted?
Which may seem a little it's disrespectful. Maybe. It's disrespectful, but I'm guessing they put a bunch of tight ends that they don't see as tight ends in the NFL in front of him. They're like, oh, he's a good college tight end. I think they had Kittle as a fullback coming out, right? So true fullbacks, I'm sure he's like top four or five. Which is
what year is Potamon? He's got a couple years left, right?
He's got at least one more year left. I think he's got 1 year and then technically a COVID year if he wants it, but who knows? Riley Moss is ninth for corners. Jack Campbell, fourth for inside linebackers. That was sort of the surprise when it came out. He's all the way up to number four at inside linebacker. And Goodson's at 10th for running backs. Spiewak, who isn't the starting long snapper. This is where I took a little offense. Spiewak is his third best long snapper on the board, which means he clearly doesn't watch anything. Somebody just hands him the specialist list, and it's just like, hey, who's the senior snappers in college right now? We'll just put numbers by their names.
How does that make you feel, bud?
Well, I wasn't ranked. I wasn't ranked on old Mel Kiper's board coming out of college.
They kind of just did they filtered out things like show me all the seniors, show me the seniors above 6 foot.
God damn.
The seniors above 6 foot at Power Five schools, and Spiewak just happened to be the third one there.
Yeah. They used multiple filter searches there. Yeah. And I got, and you know what? Polcat got filtered out. Guy got filtered out. Anyone who caught a ball and scored, anybody who caught a ball and did not score, filtered out. And I was a part of that, and that's no big deal. Drake, you're eating candy again. You're eating chocolate.
It's a Justin's peanut butter cup, man. All natural, organic.
Okay.
No sugar added.
Is that your thing now?
Dark chocolate peanut butter cup.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. So those were the rankings. I thought those were interesting. Some other rankings that came out.
Just real quick, who out of that group you think leaves early? Do you think they all leave early?
I don't. I'm at this point. I don't think Goodson will leave early. Like, is he having the year where you leave early?
No. Is that all on him, though? Obviously not.
No.
Where does the 10th ranked running back get drafted?
It's a good question.
Not that high.
Fourth, fifth round?
Probably around there. And I think he's a...
Way more DBs go than running backs. That's for damn sure.
Oh, for sure. DBs, wide receivers, linemen.
And here's the deal. Without an elite year of film, right? Like, the potential's there. We've all seen it. And you look on his highlight reels, the plays that are really, really good, they're awesome. He's got incredible skill. Throw the one where he double jump cuts the Maryland guy on there. Dices people up. We all know that. But without an elite junior year on film and just sort of conjecture of what he could be, he's only 5'10". It's not like he's Derrick Henry size, you know? And the NFL is a different ballgame, right? Like, we're looking for Saquon Thickies out here to be the workhorse. So I don't know if a team takes a chance in the second or third round. And if it's not in the second or third round or higher, is it worth it coming out? Or maybe, I don't know, you come back for another year?
So, offense. I mean, it depends. I mean, the running back position, unless you're like elite first, second round talents, generally lose their stock pretty quickly.
I mean,
you just look at how many running back by committees NFL teams have. I mean, there's anyone out there with a fantasy team knows that there's like 12 dudes there, you know,
right.
Dudes that are like workhorses. They're going to be three down back, you know, getting the ball 20 to 30 times a game. There's only a handful of those in the league. The rest of them, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, teams aren't going to use high draft picks.
They're not going to reach
backup running backs and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to send his stuff in. He's going to get a grade.
Oh, of course. He's going to get graded and everything like that. The opposite side of that is running back is, see, there's two sides of the coin here. The other side is that running back is you're taking a lot of hits throughout a year. So another year of college.
Yeah.
Maybe doesn't help you develop into a better running back so much as it does at other positions. And you're kind of you can end up taking a beating, which would make it more likely for you to want to leave.
Let's look at it from the Iowa perspective for T-Good. There's no way the offensive line doesn't get better next year. There's just no way. They have to be better than what they put out there, right?
Yeah, but it's three young guys that aren't performing well right now that are going to be the leaders, and you've got to replace two other ones because Linderbaum's gone. He's going to go get drafted in the first round and get his money like he should. He's going to not risk any injury in another year of college. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, Lindy's gone. Spiewak is a senior. Regardless of where
I'm talking about. Tyler, shot, shooter, shoots.
No, I know. And I was going back through that list. I think Pott stays. I don't think Pott goes, I doubt he's leaving early as a
fullback. When did we start calling fullback as a free agent? Yeah.
Pottabomb?
Yeah, we call him Monty.
Or Pott.
What do you call him, Pott?
I think all the guys on, when they are asked about him, they call him Pott. So
I don't know if I like that, man. He's getting done a disservice there. It's a bad nickname.
It's a
I thought you'd
bit.
Like that. He's got a great first name. Yeah, Monty is a great first name.
Yeah. Jack is a question.
He should go, dude.
If he's
going to be drafted, and he might get drafted higher than that.
If he's
in the top four, that means that he could get drafted in any order. And you know what I'm saying? If there's one outlier, then maybe there's one guy who's absolutely the first inside linebacker taken. But from there, it's a team who wants a guy who's 6'5" and runs like a deer. And there's probably a few teams that want an Anthony Barr or Leighton Vander Esch who can actually run, that type of player.
Which, by the way, Anthony Barr, I was watching him this weekend. Sheesh.
Yeah.
And then that reminded me of how bad he crushed dudes at UCLA. Sheesh. But yeah, I would really like Jack Campbell to stay. I think
that'd be dope.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Who was the other one on there?
Listen, if Jack Campbell gets his papers back and it says that he is a second round linebacker, being that he's in the top four. Why would you not, man? Are you really going to up your stock enough to become a first-round linebacker with a high enough frequency that you pass up being a second?
It's the decision.
I think he could. I think he could still have room to grow.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd pass up on second down, man.
Is that worth the risk of getting hurt in your senior year? Is that worth the risk of your stock going down?
Decision they have to make.
The year that you're spending in college that you're not spending in the NFL.
Nope. Right there. Nope.
That one's tough. That's a tough one.
Is it worth hanging out in Iowa City at Summit for one more year or going and playing around with a different group of people?
There's a balance there.
Someone else likes staying in Iowa City after graduating.
You know, like Summit Saturdays and a little Swahili on Monday through Thursday, or maybe you go play for the Bucks. I don't know. Who cares? It's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, yeah, take that money.
I'll tell you what. If you could come and get drafted by Arizona and hang out in the Valley and not in Iowa poop city, it's not the worst thing.
Arizona's a little nicer in the winter months, that's for sure. There were some more rankings, maybe ones that matter a little bit more, that came out last night. And those are the CFP rankings. You guys catch those?
If we're ranked, it's wrong.
We're ranked 22nd. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's at the back end of the rankings, but if you're just looking objectively at what we're putting on film, most recent performance is what your actual performance is, because you don't just get to go back 4 weeks and be like, oh yeah, well, we played good 4 weeks ago, so that's the team that we are. No, you are the team that you put on the field, and we're not putting out the 22nd best team. That's not our product.
I mean, rankings, in my opinion, should be, what is your resume? It's ranking your resume. And I believe Iowa has a top 25 resume.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too. It's not, so
you can do two things. Like, who's the best four teams in the country versus who has the top four resumes? I think you come up with different lists.
Yeah.
But Alabama at two, I think, is offensive.
It is.
Because are they probably the second best team in the country? Yeah. Yes. If not, they're in the top four. Do they have the second best resume? I don't think so. Not even close.
No. What's really disrespectful? Well, this says a couple things. What's really disrespectful?
Let me say this right here. If Wisconsin's 21, we're not 22.
Well, again, though, you're going off resume. If you're going off best team, then yeah, Iowa, the last 2 weeks, the state of Iowa football in the last couple weeks, I don't know if they're a top 50 team. They haven't played like it. Defensively, probably keeps us in the top 50, but offense has been not good. Clearly
132nd.
Yeah. Out of 130. So what's really embarrassing, I think, is Cincinnati. What do you do? Right.
Cincinnati not being in the top four is downright egregious to me.
It's offensive. Georgia's the clear number one. I like Michigan State in there. What they're saying, man.
Michigan State has one good win on their resume right now, and it's a good win versus a good Michigan team. I think they have a lot of hole. I don't think they'll be in there by the end of the year.
By resume and everything else, gosh, but then you look at Oklahoma, they're like, they've played like four close games against teams that, man, I don't know.
Cincinnati's legitimately getting railroaded because now they're behind Ohio State, which means if Ohio State wins out, what's the justification for them then being behind Cincinnati? Because it's just not going to happen, right? If Ohio State wins out, that means they beat Michigan State most likely in the Big Ten championship, and they're going to be in the top four. Cincinnati loses this every which way, no matter if they go undefeated or not, it looks like.
Clover, do you want to just go ahead and correct him real quick?
Yeah. So Drake's a little out of touch. Michigan State and Ohio State. Michigan State and Ohio State have to play each other in the regular season.
That's right. They're on the East. I'm tripping.
Yeah. So they will. So everyone listening who just like crashed their car because Drake doesn't know who's in each side of the fucking conference.
My apologies. I forgot about the East and the West. Yeah,
so Ohio State and Michigan State are going to take care of each other.
Only one's getting in, if any. Ohio State wins out, they're in. Michigan State wins out, they're in.
Oregon,
Big Ten only gets one team in regardless because the West is kind of a dumpster fire.
Correct.
I was like halfway right because I said that either Michigan State or Ohio State was going to get each other, but I said the wrong game.
Yeah. So my top four would be Georgia. Shit, I don't even know who. I don't agree with Alabama at two, but I don't know who to put it to. I think.
I'm putting Cincinnati at number two.
Cincinnati's number two.
Georgia, Cincinnati, Michigan State.
If we were number two at 6-0, then Cincinnati can be like I know Kevin said we have a good resume, and the early part of our season was tough, and we had some good wins. But like Cincinnati has been a really good team, and if we were number two, they can certainly be number two.
I think it's Georgia, Cincinnati, Michigan State, and then you got to put Oklahoma in there.
Oklahoma. Yeah, it's too early in the season to have one loss teams in the top four.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You got four really good undefeated teams right there. Those should be your top four, in my opinion.
And here's the thing. If they're putting Oregon football in the top four right now, who are they going to lose to that would – like
they've got Utah, I think, is the toughest game left on their schedule in the regular season, and then whoever they play in the Pac-12 championship –
they have Washington, Washington State, Utah, and Oregon State. So,
I mean, I can see them losing one of those games. I don't think they're that great. They got Ohio State early in the year when Ohio State was not playing good football. Different Ohio State team now. So, I think you put those two teams on the same field again, and it's a completely different ball. Say Ohio State and Oregon play again in the college football playoff.
Oh, it's different.
I think Ohio State wins by two touchdowns.
I agree. And here's a bad deal. What if, and I don't think it'll happen, but what if Alabama goes in and beats Georgia?
That completely messes everything up.
Cincinnati is not happy about that because Georgia's getting in.
If Georgia's one loss is to Alabama in the SEC championship and Alabama still only has one loss, then yes, both Alabama and Georgia are in.
And at that point,
so they'd let them run it back in the first round of the playoff.
I think so.
Because at that point, Alabama has to go to number one if they beat Georgia, and Georgia would probably drop to number four.
Well, and here's the thing: say Oregon wins out and wins the pack. I mean, I suppose they deserve to be in at that point, but then you could very potentially have an undefeated Oklahoma Big 12 champion left out and an undefeated Cincinnati left out if you put in undefeated Ohio State as the fourth team with the two SEC teams in Oregon.
So I think if Oklahoma wins out, they'll have a better resume than a one-loss Oregon team, in my opinion.
But they're at eight right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And I can't really justify putting them behind Michigan right now.
It's wild.
And to be honest, putting them behind Cincinnati, do we really think heads up who we think wins, Oklahoma or Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I would actually say Cincinnati as well.
I think Cincinnati would be a field goal favorite in that game in Vegas.
The way Oklahoma's offense had been playing with the freshman quarterback ever since he took over, they've looked really strong. They look like they can beat anybody in a shootout.
Has just as good or if not better defense than anyone in the Big 12.
Yeah. It's just they've set themselves up by putting Alabama and Oregon where they're at to run into some issues here. And
yeah, so here's my thing, and then we can put this to bed, is that Cincinnati, you know, group of five team, comes from the American, which is honestly a pretty solid conference. They got some good teams in that conference that, you know, top to bottom can compete with some of the Big 12 teams, ACC teams. I think they're right there. They're actually having a little bit of a down year this year, but most years they're right there. And they went out and scheduled an Indiana team who was supposed to be better.
Right.
And they scheduled Notre Dame, beat them at home.
Yep.
What do you want Cincinnati to do if they run the table and they're still not in? We are then just setting the stage like, hey, if you're not a Power 5 team, then
you don't have a chance.
You're just not eligible for the college football.
And we already started.
Which I think is just wrong.
Which we already started doing that when UCF was the, you know, they claimed they were the national champions at 13-0. And
how did they not get in, man? In what world does that team not get a chance?
Money. The world that money rules all. And
Cincinnati's going to get railroaded by money then.
And I think, I hope that if that happens, I don't think it will. I think the odds say that one of these teams loses, a couple of these teams lose, and Cincinnati finds its way in. But if that doesn't happen and Cincinnati gets bent and left out of this year's playoff, I think it expedites the process of an 8-12 team playoff pretty fast. I'll tell you what,
if Cincinnati has a close, they have a conference championship, right?
Yes.
American. All right. So if they have a close conference championship and Oklahoma blows the Big 12, the doors off the Big 12, Cincinnati's in trouble.
So yeah, you're right. I mean, Cincinnati, all they can do is go out and play good football every week. They honestly haven't played their best the last couple of weeks.
Right.
But I think Georgia runs the table and beats Alabama. Alabama's not in. No one else from the SEC is. I think everyone else in the SEC is at least two losses already. So the SEC would only get one. I think the Big Ten champ gets in if it's Michigan State or Ohio State.
Yep.
An undefeated Oklahoma gets in, and then it comes down to an undefeated Cincinnati or a one-loss Oregon, if there is a one-loss Oregon.
It'll play itself out a little bit more. It'll evolve.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to be getting our fanny.
It's something to talk about, though. We're the noise, and we get to talk about it. So yeah, it is exactly what it is. Real quick, before we go to a break and then come back with, I don't know what we're even going to say about the Northwestern game. This is the Northwestern preview, but I mean, we're not previewing Northwestern. Fuck those guys.
They suck, and right now we suck. So it's right. A battle of the team who's going to come out and put on a better performance. And if it's not us, come on.
There's more funny things to talk about, like a pet monkey of Texas football coach allegedly attacks kid while trick-or-treating. Kevin, you saw this by your reaction. Drake, you did not see this. So let me
are
just
take a quick break.
No, we're going to talk about this before the break.
Oh, okay.
So it says, are you ready? This is from fansided.com. Are you ready for the most bananas story in college football this year? That's an intended pun because a monkey owned by the girlfriend, supposedly a stripper, I saw, the stripper girlfriend of the Texas special teams coach, Jeff Banks.
Of course it's a special teams coach. Of course it is. Of course it is. You got fucking Chris White and you got this guy.
Reportedly bit a child on Halloween. The monkey's jaws apparently had to be pried off of the small child. Oh, that poor kid, but I don't care. This story is funny. Oh my God. Dude. Special teams coach.
So, hey, tell me this ain't funny. Tell me this ain't funny. A small child is traumatized by a hooker's monkey.
Oh, God.
Sounds like one of those articles you read out of The Onion.
Banks' girlfriend, the woman he allegedly left his wife and kids for, is a stripper who goes by the name Pole Assassin. Not Polecat.
Is that Polecat's cousin?
Yeah, Polecat and Pole Assassin. There's a pole convention and we both show up.
A hooker with the name Pole Assassin?
No, not a hooker. Stripper.
A stripper.
Listen, pal, if she's a stripper, she's a hooker because any stripper has her price. And second of all, if her name's Pole Assassin, she's also a hooker. So double hooker with the name Pole Assassin has a monkey that traumatized a small child for the rest of their life.
Well, even better, the monkey, who is named Gia, has been incorporated into her act as a stripper. she's farming out work by this small primate.
Dude, he's up there on the pole while the monkey's eating her from behind. This is bestiality. This is illegal. What are we doing on this podcast?
She's on the pole and the monkey's swinging all over. It can't get any better. This is the Northwestern preview. Oh, baby. Come on now.
Did you not bring this up on Dickhead Tuesday? This is Dickhead Tuesday material.
No, we got to give some of them good. I didn't see most of it until after we recorded it yesterday. Wow.
How do you as like a 22-year-old, almost full-grown man, take coaching from that guy the next week?
Yeah, this guy tries to tell you to run your knees, and you're like, hey, why don't you tell your stripper girlfriend to get the fucking monkey off my off the kid's back first, you know? Wow.
Yeah, I think he has significantly less credibility than Urban Meyer has.
Not good. Not good. When we come back, we're gonna go straight towards winners because there's nothing to say about this Northwestern game. They have a worse defense than any of the teams we played. And we'll get to it, but when we come back. And we're back. Over the break, we tried to get Pole Assassin on the phone. Could not. She was going to give her picks for the week. But we'll have to rely on Kevin Ward. And so goes Ward's winners. Kevin. All I do is win, no matter what. Been winning lately. Kevin and I tallied the records. The walk-ons are 39, 32, and 1. But in the last
Kluver, I want you to know that that Aaron Rodgers being out is a full 7 points, and I want my 7 points that I called on the damn Dickhead Tuesday podcast.
What did we say about that game?
It was a pick 'em, and we picked Aaron Rodgers. But now I don't know if I want that pick at all, but I still want the pick 'em.
Okay. Well, Kevin locked in his picks early this week. He texted you and I, Drake, and said, hey, I'm locking these in. So he was already, he was peeping the boards. We've been a little hot lately. And Kev, would you kindly oblige us?
Yeah, sure. Be happy to. I got Baylor -6.5 at TCU. Gary Patterson was relieved of his coaching duties. Was it last week or just after the game? Anyway, second longest tenured coach in the country.
Nobody's safe.
He put TCU on the map. He was coaching there before they were part of the Big 12.
Yeah.
And turned into a good program. Hasn't been doing as good in the last couple of years. Baylor's been playing pretty damn good ball and really well recently. I don't know why this is a 6.5 point game, but I love Baylor and the Dylan Doyles down there. And
which, by the way, Dylan Doyle is the star of their program. He's all over their social media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a really damn good player.
Yeah, he's damn good.
And they're playing him in an absolutely legendary way.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, Baylor?
I got the Purdue-Michigan State over at 52. It's now at 54. I think you got two offenses that can throw the ball around and score some points. I think Purdue will be able to score some points on that Michigan State secondary. I think we'll have a little bit of a high scoring affair there. So I like that over. And then for the winner of this game gets the Commanders in Chief trophy. I got Air Force -2.5 at home versus Army. You got two service academies. You know what they run. Army's got a pretty good offense, but I think Air Force wins this one with their better defense. Army's defense has not played well at all. So give me the Air Force Falcons to win the Commanders Chief trophy by more than 2.5 points.
There you go. Kevin would have to go with the USA game of the week. If there's an Armed Forces game, you got to be a part of that.
Got to.
I'm going to follow suit. I'm also going to head to, where is the Air Force Academy?
Colorado Springs.
We're going to head to Colorado Springs, and we want points, baby. We want points. Army, Air Force. Currently sitting at 37. Give me the over, baby. Over.
I like the pick.
We're going to go down to Wisconsin Rutgers. Hey, Wisconsin's playing good. They found a little mojo the last 2 weeks. They got to beat the hell out of Purdue and Iowa. Feels good when you're beating the hell out of people. You get a little confidence. Rutgers is bad. And I think Wisconsin beats them by more than 13. Give me Wisconsin -13. And then the last pick I'm struggling with a little bit, so this is kind of going to be on the fly. Let me see. Oh, I know. No. Wake Forest is undefeated, but they are a dog this week to North Carolina. That's interesting to me. A little bit intriguing. I think more intriguing is potentially the Michigan State-Purdue line sitting at -3? Just 3 points?
I mean, Michigan State's got one good win.
Give me the Spartans.
If you see Purdue put a game together like they played against Iowa, I think you could.
I'd argue that they can only do it. I'm arguing that they can only do it once a year. Give me Michigan State.
And Spartans. It has to be against Iowa.
And it's always against Iowa. So give me Michigan State -3 as my third pick. Those are my three. Drake, you got any?
Yeah. So I'm going completely away from the Packers, obviously, because even at +7.5, I still don't trust them. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the heart and soul of that entire franchise.
They're gonna get to see what's his face?
Jordan Love is all about
future of the program,
dude. BetMGM is giving away the Cardinals +1 at the Niners, so definitely give me the Cardinals +1 at the Niners.
I see -1 on that.
Look, go to BetMGM.
Okay, well, if they're giving +1, then that's a steal.
Now I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals -2.5 at home against the Browns because the Browns just haven't looked good at all in the past couple of weeks. And then my third pick.
Bengals just got their
Locke's kind of
right. Yeah, they just got beat bad. Yeah. No, I understand that, and that's a bad loss. You got to come back from one bad loss, but the Browns have looked flat for a while. So at home, I'm just going to take the Bengals. I think they beat the Browns. And then my third pick. I really wanted to take the Chargers, but it's at Philly because the Chargers are only giving up 1.5 at Philly, and I think that one feels like a steal. But I don't know how well they're going to play in that stadium. Give me the Chargers at Philly. If they lose to Philly, then screw it.
I like that pick. I don't know. NFL's tough. You just get random Jets games where they come out and beat the Bengals, and, you know, it is what it is. Like we said, if you guys want to say something about the Pussycats versus the Hawks this weekend and Fat Titch Gerald and all that, you can. I have a very simple analysis, and it is we have to find some sort of established running game that will make the offense feel better. We should be able to get some of that versus the Northwestern front. And the Northwestern offense is potentially the least scary off. They're potentially less scary than the Hawkeye offenses. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have the worst run defense in the league. So if we can't run the ball this week, then it's going to be a long rest. It's going to be a long November and rest of the year. I think the Hawks have some success on Saturday. I think they'll be able to move the ball a little bit. Still won't be a super high scoring affair, but like you said, I don't see the Northwestern offense moving the ball effectively versus our defense at all.
All right, good. That was going to be my one question, because if we can just stay in positive field position, at least the offense won't look so abysmal. But when we're having to make 8 or 9 first downs every possession, forget about it. We're just not going to do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you pointed a gun to my head and say you have to make a pick, I'll take the Hawks to cover this line at minus 12.
Yikes.
Wow. You will.
I'm saying gun to your head. You have to choose. Are you going to take the points?
I'm taking the points, dude.
I'll take the points.
Gun to head. I think I've been – I just – the last 2 weeks have burned into my soul.
Seeing how hard the Hawks –
And that's what Vegas lives on, is people betting the recency bias.
You know? You're right.
I think
seeing how hard the Hawks have been killing the under all year and getting 12 points on an under-heavy team, gun to head, I'm taking the points.
You know what, Kev? This is one of those games where Iowa could come out and win by 4 touchdowns. It would not surprise me.
We could win this game 17-0 or 20-3. The under hits very safely, but I feel very confident.
Okay. How do you feel about the line at 40.5?
Under.
yeah, under. I see
I'm not going to bet it, but.
Like, this might be a 28-10 game or a 21.
No. Yeah, exactly. I can't bet the over for the Hawks right now. There's just no way.
The Hawks are good. Hey,
the offense is playing horrible.
Our whole brand is Hawks by a Million. Look at it. I'm down here, but look it. It's the flag. It's my background, and we can't even say it because it's Hawks by maybe 4 right now. That's what we have to change the flag to. Everybody, send your flags back. I'm gonna reprint them, and it's gonna say Hawks by maybe 4. And I'll send them back.
Hawks by a little bit.
Hawks by a little.
Hawks by the hook.
Jesus, man. That's all we got. Gia the monkey with a stripper girlfriend. Unbelievable story. Really the story of the week. Awards winners.
Who's a bigger dickhead? Henry Ruggs or the head coach or the special teams coach?
It's probably still got to be Ruggs.
Got to be Henry Ruggs. But if you're letting, he did let a child get attacked. So even though the child didn't die, I understand. So it's got to be Henry Ruggs. But a child did get attacked by a monkey. So that's pretty dickhead.
It probably wasn't his
Maybe
fault.
The child provoked the monkey. We don't know. We do know that Henry Ruggs is driving 156 miles an hour at 3 a.m, drunk as a skunk.
Hey, but I got to bring it up on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, dickhead of the week, of the century.
Dickhead of the year.
And
now, hey, can we end this podcast on, is that first degree murder or not? Because in my mind, that's first degree murder, because you have to make so many terrible fucking decisions in a row until you get to that point.
In succession.
Yeah. In succession, he made hundreds of dog shit decisions in a row to end up with somebody dead. That's first degree murder. And you can't convince me otherwise.
Most likely, I mean,
by the definition, it's not first degree murder.
But. Yeah. Most likely it would. It's not the first time he's done something like that either. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's very possible that he spends enough time in jail to never play in the NFL again.
If he doesn't spend enough time in the NFL to never play again, then it's a complete injustice to the girl who died because her family never, for the rest of their lives, you had the dog in there, and that makes it feel like he should get 25.
Whatever sentence,
and then you add the fact in that he was intentionally endangering the life of his passenger as well. That feels like attempted murder to me, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you technically.
I think the article I read said that the max he could get is 20 years.
Jesus Minutes Christ, two. That's wild.
Oof, I'd expect it to be somewhere in the middle.
Can you imagine the mountain and valley you go through on that one? Like, we went through a pretty big emotional swing on, like, oh, we're about to win the Big Ten championship. There's 6 minutes left, and we should probably stop Michigan State. But then we lose, and it's like, oh, that really sucks. And he went from, I make millions, to I'm now
on top of the world. Literally on top of the world.
Yeah. I make millions playing a child's game to I'm a murderer. Not good. Not good. Henry Ruggs. Gone forever. That's it. Northwestern, Fat Fitzgerald. If we lose this game, there might not be a podcast.
Yeah, then we have to turn it in on the podcast if we lose this game.
So,
and then we've said that once before, and we won the next day,
right?
So
we're one for one.
That's what we need.
We're one for one on giving the team an ultimatum.
DHT will live regardless of.
That's true.
If the Hawks win another game, so
the washed up walk-ons are going on strike until the Hawks win another football game.
Yep. That's correct.
No. The Hawks are, or the Washington walk-ons are on strike for the rest of the season if we lose to Northwestern.
Yeah.
At least I'm on strike.
Yeah. I'm making all of them pay for the Big Ten championship tickets. God damn it. Well, enjoy the game. It's a night game. So, Hawk fans, you got all day to drink and be merry. And at least if
don't we drive.
Lose, yeah, don't drive. Don't be Henry Ruggs. We're out. This episode's run too long. Yeah.